Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
And now, what you've all been waiting for, our associate pastor, Myron Gall.
Before I begin, I want to read something to you that I found very interesting. This article says this. A preacher once preached an entire series of sermons on some very challenging scriptures in hopes of winning one particular man of great intellect to Christ. Shortly after the series ended, to the preacher's delight, the man came forward to announce that he had become a convinced Christian and wanted to join the church. Pleased with himself, the preacher said, "And which of my sermons was it that removed your doubts?" The man replied, "Your sermons? It wasn't any of your sermons." "What was it then?" the preacher asked, greatly disappointed. The man said, "The thing that set me thinking was when a poor woman came out of the church and stumbled down the steps right beside me. When I put out my hand to help her, she smiled and said, 'Thank you.' And then she added, 'Do you love Jesus Christ, my blessed Savior? He means everything to me.' I did not then, but I thought about what she had said, and I found I was on the wrong road. I still have many questions, but now Jesus means everything to me too. Faith is not based on convincing God of our goodness. Faith is receiving God's goodness, which he has given through Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you have touched our lives. We recognize that faith is the instrument you use to dispense your grace. So we ask you to be with us. I realize, Lord, that words are just words unless they're anointed. I realize that the Holy Spirit, if he does not anoint this message, then it's just words. So we ask you, Lord, to anoint this message to all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, I've learned a long time ago that people are more interested in what we do than what we are. They're more interested not so much in hearing, but seeing our lives. And there it is. Well, today I'm going to bring a message about faith. And I want you to turn with me to two particular portions of Scripture. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. And then I'm going to read from Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have no faith. Truly I tell you, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here, leave,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." Now turn to Luke 17. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Now, the first thing you have to understand about reading the Bible is you have to know who Jesus is talking to. And so we're going to talk about mountains and mulberry trees. Now, in Matthew 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Be cast into the sea," and it would. And then he says in Luke 17 to the apostles, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree and you could have it removed, destroyed. What's Jesus saying? What he was saying to the disciples was, you don't have any faith at all. What? That's what he was saying. Now, how many times have you heard preachers say, and they say it, if you have enough faith, you can stand and you can cast the mountain into the sea. Let me see you do it. No, really, if you really believe that, let me see you do it. That's fair. Well, come on. If you have enough faith, you can say to this mountain, be cast in the sea, and it'll be cast in the sea. Let me see you do it. Well, obviously Jesus could do it. I believe if God will, anything could be done. But the point is, people have no understanding. When Jesus said that to his disciples, he was trying to tell them, you don't have any faith at all. They were not believing what he was telling them. He was telling them that he was going away to die, and they weren't getting it. They weren't understanding it. And they kept thinking, if I had more faith. The thing is, people always say, if I just had more faith, I could do this. You know what that is? That's putting faith in your faith. Do you understand that? There are preachers who say, if you just had enough faith, and they're telling you, put faith in your faith. Well, Jesus said it's not the amount of faith, it's the fact of faith. Even the grain of a mustard seed. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let me say this before I go further. You can use these verses as a metaphor. You can say that you have giants in your life like David, and if you trust God, you can defeat those giants. That's a metaphor. That's fine. Okay, you can do that. You can say, well, you have certain things in your life that defeat you, but if you have faith, you can defeat them. You can be victorious over things like that dig deep into your life, like pornography and adultery and all of those things. And if you just trust God, you can defeat those things. It's not the amount of faith, it's the fact of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is not a work. It's a gift. Okay, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Faith is not a work. Faith is evidence of the grace of God. There's three types of faith. There's saving faith, there's living faith, and then there's the gift of faith given by the Holy Spirit after Pentecost to the church. So what is saving faith? Saving faith is trust. Saving faith is that which trusts Christ alone for salvation. Saving faith is trust. Saving faith is trust alone in Christ for salvation. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby ye must be saved. Saving faith is a door through which grace enters and God applies justification. Now let me explain justification. If you've received Christ as your personal Savior, based on the fact that He died for your sins, paid the price of your sins, was raised by God to evidence His acceptance of that sacrifice, if you believe that, before God, you're justified. Now, that's an interesting word. Justification means to be declared legally righteous. Here's how it works. When God looks at the cross because of the death and resurrection of Christ, when God looks at the cross, He sees you. And when He looks at you, He sees Christ. Interesting, isn't it? You've got to understand that God justifies us based on the sacrifice of Christ. Justification is to be declared righteous. He doesn't make us righteous. He declares us righteous. Okay? And justification, God sees us, what? Just as if we didn't sin. Well, so I want you to think of faith as not a noun, but I want you to think of it as a verb. Faith is an action word. It's something we do. But faith isn't works. Remember? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is not works. Faith is a gift. Everybody has the ability to believe. The grace of God is available to anyone. God grants people the ability to believe, and faith is the evidence that God's grace is there. Okay? Through faith, God declares us righteous. Once I said, He doesn't make us righteous. That's how He sees us. That's saving faith. Now, what's living faith? Well, living faith is based on obedience. The Bible says the justified, those who've been justified, shall live by their faith. Living faith is obedience. And obedience validates our sanctification. By being obedient, we're placing ourselves in the place where God would have us. We're set aside for special use. Now, if you're disobedient, God certainly can't use you effectively. So living faith is obedience. Obedience doesn't establish our justification. It reveals our sanctification. It affects our relationship to God. It's practical. Faith is evidence of the grace of God. Here's one of the things that people do. They say, faith is not how we control God. Faith isn't how we control God. People say, well, you know, if you really believe enough and you do this, God is obligated to respond to that. God will respond to what he says and to the promises he gives. But through faith, we don't control God. It's through faith that God controls us. Faith is evidence of God's grace. Faith is also a guarantee that Christians have free will. Faith is also a guarantee that Christians have free will. We can obey or disobey. Interesting, isn't it? Saving faith is something that I did when I received Christ. Living faith is something I do. I obey him. Now, there is the gift of faith, and that's something that the Holy Spirit gives to the church as one of the spiritual gifts, and I'm not going to get into that one today. But I want you to understand something. That everybody can believe. I once had an opportunity to talk to a brilliant scholar from the University of Wisconsin. And one of our young people brought him to talk to me. Why, I don't know. But he came to sit down and discuss the scriptures, and he was brilliant. I mean, he was brilliant. I couldn't carry his textbooks. He was absolutely brilliant. And so we began to discuss the Bible. And he said to me, well, you know, the Bible is inaccurate. It makes a lot of mistakes. And I said, well, let me ask you, have you ever read it all the way through? He said, no. The Bible is an historical document that can be verified historically. It has names and places and dates and people. There's enough proof to establish the resurrection of Christ from the dead beyond any question that can result in prima facie evidence in any court in the land. Absolutely enough proof to establish that Jesus Christ was literally raised from the dead, and there's no question. And so he said to me, well, I just can't believe that. And I said to him, no, you just won't believe it. It's not for lack of evidence that people reject Christ. It's because they won't accept Christ. There's no excuse. They won't. I remember when my son was in the second year of college, my middle son, and I've told you this before, he came to me and said, Dad, I'm an atheist. You know what I said to him? It's your God-given right to be an atheist. I said, but I don't think you're angry enough, bitter enough, disillusioned enough, disheartened enough, and broken enough to be a good one. I said, so when you're a good one, we'll discuss it. So he came back and he said, Dad, I never was an atheist. He said, I wanted to push your buttons and see what you were really made of. You'd be surprised. Sometimes if you poke the lamb, you'll see the wolf. Okay? A lot of people want to poke you so they can see the wolf. We're saved by grace, not by works. It's not what we do, it's what he's done. I was talking to a group of young people one day and I said to them, are you willing to serve the Lord? And most of the young people said to me, well, we'll try. Now I'm going to quote one of my favorite philosophers, Yoda, the Jedi Knight. And Yoda was talking to Luke Skywalker. And he said, trust the Force, Luke. And Luke said, I'll try. You know what Yoda said? There is no try. There is do or do not. With faith, there is no try. There's either believe or believe not. I'm going to close because I don't take very long. But I want you to read, I want to read something to you that I thought was very touching. As a group of teenagers visited a home for the elderly in Montego Bay, Jamaica, one young woman noticed a lonely-looking man at the end of the room. He appeared to have little left in this world, but a bed to sleep on, a bed from which he could not move because of his disability. The teen began right away to share the story of God's love for us and read some Bible passages to him. As I shared with him, she would say later, I started to feel his eagerness to hear more. Responding to his interest, she explained the wonder of Jesus' sacrificial death for us. It was hard for this man, who had no hope and no family, she replied, to understand that someone he's never met would love him, even to die on the cross for his sins. She told him more about Jesus, and then about the promise of heaven, including a new body for all who believe. He asked her, will you dance with me up there? She saw him, began to imagine himself free of his worn-out body and crippling limitations. When he said he wanted to trust Jesus as his Savior, she helped him to pray a prayer of forgiveness and faith. When she asked him if she could get a picture with him, he replied, if you help me sit up, I'm a new man. Praise God for the life-giving, hope-giving, available to all gospel of Jesus Christ. It offers new life for all who trust and believe in him. What about you? You say, well, I can't believe. Oh, yes, you can. You know what your problem probably is? You dislike some Christian. And you've got an axe to grind because some legalistic preacher. Or you're upset with something else. Well, that's not the question. The question is, what do you believe about Jesus? You can reject him if you want. God gives you that right. God gives you that right. So what do you think about Jesus? What have you done? What is your complaint against the church? Forget the church. What's your complaint about Jesus? Was he a liar? If he was a liar, he's not a good man. Was he insane? He said he was God. He said, he that has seen the Father hath seen me. Was he insane? That's a decision you have to make. But all of history attests to the fact that he was raised from the dead and changed lives, and new men like this man who have dreams to conquer things they could never conquer, to climb mountains they could never climb, to dream dreams they could never imagine, to be the hero that they couldn't possibly be without him. Those things God gives to those who trust him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for faith. We're thankful for what you do. We're thankful for who you are. And we're thankful, Lord, that you have given us all that we need to be all that you desire us to be. Thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.